Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Good Monday morning, everybody. It is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan, home of the Padres. Proud home of the Padres. A little harder on a Monday after you get swept by a last-place team. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
Woods, that Coors Field, I get that the Padres aren't the only team that has trouble playing there, but wow. I mean, the games this season, if they hadn't come back and like won a couple of those miracle ones during that Father's Day weekend series, They could have had just the most disastrous year in a park of all time. Just giving up double-digit runs every day. I get it. It's a hitter's paradise. A lot of teams give up a lot of runs there. The Rockies give up a lot of runs there. You have to be able to, at least one of the 3 days, keep the team you're facing to single digits. But not the Padres this weekend.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's clearly the Padres' kryptonite playing at Coors Field, and you got to get it figured out if you want to be a team that is going to make a run, Ben, in the West, because you're going to have to play these guys at Coors Field a lot. I don't know what the solution is. Is it throw guys with better velo? Is it throw guys with better breaking stuff? Is it get better pitchers in your starting rotation? I honestly don't know. All I know is that if I got to watch Eric Lauer throw at Coors Field one more time, I'm going to rip my eyelashes out one by one. It's like, it's almost a joke at this point. It really is. It's almost a joke.
And the funny thing is he pitched very well against the Colorado Rockies just, what, like a week ago at Petco Park. But then you put the guy at Coors Field. He has the worst ERA of any pitcher all time.
By like three runs.
At Coors Field. It's like 16 or something.
It's again, like by a full three runs, I believe, is what I heard. And I just... You know, you're going to play the Rockies a lot to open the season next year. Thank God, only three games at Coors, but you're still going to have to play them later in the season when it matters, maybe potentially even more. But, I mean, at least you know you're not opening with 6 out of 12 there, because you're going to lose all 6 right now.
Joey Lucchese, Eric Lauer, and Cal Quantrill all got roughed up over the weekend as starters at Coors Field. I think one thing that's important to remember is that none of those three guys are necessarily going to be in the Padres' starting rotation next year.
Not a lock, man.
I'm kind of assuming Joey Lucchese still has an inside track for one of the spots. But if you are, if you believe what we've been hearing, you know, directly from people in the Padres organization, as well as, you know, from reports and the rumor mill, the Padres are going to be trying to add at least one starting pitching arm in the offseason, a veteran that they can put at or near the top of the rotation. So let's say they're successful doing that, either by a free agency or trade. So that's one of your starters. You know, Chris Paddock's coming back into the rotation. Garrett Richards, the plan certainly has been for him to be part of the rotation. He will make his Padres debut tonight in Milwaukee in game one of that four-game series. Former ace for the Los Angeles Angels. They signed him to a two-year deal. Didn't think he'd pitch at all this year, but you know, he was kind of determined to get back by September after his Tommy John surgery and rehab. Well, he's done it. He's gone through the rehab, and he's going to start tonight. So you didn't give that guy, you know, whatever it is, $20 million or so, to not, you know, $15 million to not pitch him next year. So he's part of the rotation. Denelson Lamet, back from surgery, has I think, you know, checked most of the boxes so far. You know, his win-loss record is a little up and down, but the ERA, the velocity is there. He looks clearly like he's got to be there. And then you think about the fact, well, what if Mackenzie Gore, the top prospect the Padres have and one of the top prospects in all of baseball, pulls a Paddock, basically, in spring training, pitches so well.
They have to put him on the roster.
Have to put him on the roster. All of a sudden, none of those guys who started this weekend in Denver would be part of the Padres' at least five-man starting rotation. So it's like one of those things you kind of keep in mind. You say, oh, well, next year is going to be a lot more of the same when you're throwing those guys out there. I don't know that they will be throwing those guys out there next season. I would assume you're going to need more than five starters, and Joey Lucchese and Eric Lauer and Cal Quantrill, if they're not traded, will probably have some opportunities in the rotation, but none of it's guaranteed for any of those guys, and that is what we're looking ahead to in 2020, a lot more competition, which generally is a good thing for a baseball team.
Yeah, we talked about the competition in the outfield early in the season, and look how that's shaken out. I mean, did you ever think you'd, oh, man, Nick Martini is just really killing it for us? You know, look, sometimes competition is good, but things happen. Starting with a lot more starting pitchers is always a good thing, and you're going to have to narrow it down to your best five. And hopefully, Benny, I mean, they have to make moves. They have to go out, trade chips, get a frontline starter. They have to. It should be priority one. And then solidifying the outfield as well. But, man, it was ugly. You hate to be swept. It's unacceptable. It is. They're a last-place team, and you just got swept by them. You know, it can't happen. It just can't happen. A lot of pissed-off Padre fans this morning, and I understand why. It was very uninspiring, baseball.
Well, I mean, you know, when the pitching is bad, baseball always looks bad.
Yeah.
That's a 100% given. And I will say this. I don't think there's many teams right now that are sitting – you know, with a losing record like the Padres have, that look great in September. I mean, you look at fourth and fifth place teams in baseball, none of them are that exciting. Maybe the Phillies, they're a fourth place team that's still somewhat in it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're pretty much looking at a bunch of teams that everyone's just trying to get to the end of the season.
How many of those teams went out and signed Manny Machado in the offseason?
Let me see. It looks like just one of them.
Just one of them, yeah. Well, I mean, and again, you know, you're talking about expectations, and I know Ron Fowler's not happy. I know he's not. I mean, there's no question. He's probably fit to be tied right now, man, to be honest with you. It's not good. They keep playing like this to wrap up the season. Heads are going to roll, period. They just will. It's unacceptable to play this way at the end of the year. It just is. You can't roll over, and I feel like they're rolling over.
I don't think they're rolling over. I mean, they had a lot of good at-bats.
They got their asses handed to them. Three games in a row.
I feel like
four games in a row
offense was up there battling and taking a lot of good at-bats. I mean, they scored a bunch of runs. They scored, 8, 10, and 5 in the three games. I mean, the batters certainly aren't rolling over. And you can say, well, the pitching staff is rolling over. Are they? I mean, is Eric Lauer just giving up and he's just throwing balls over the middle in
Coors
Field?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an easy thing to say rolling over, but when you – all right, they're getting rolled over. How about that? That's maybe a better way to put it. They're getting their asses handed to them. Four games in a row now, and it's, you know, you're battling now to stay out of last place in the West. It just – it can't happen. It just can't happen, man. You gotta figure out a way to play better. It's so simple to say, but you have to figure out a way to try to end this season on somewhat of an upward streak. Not that it matters. Not that they're going to look back and say, man, those last 12 games or whatever, those were something. Really feeling it now. It doesn't. But I think for the psyche of this fan base, I think for the psyche of the players and everybody involved, go out and play some better baseball. Wrap up the season. Sucks. It's not fun watching that team right now at all.
I know it... It's not where we want it to be, but it was kind of fun seeing what happened in Amarillo, or in Texas. I think it was actually in Tulsa yesterday. The Game 5 of the Texas League Championship Series, the decisive final game. Couldn't really have scripted it better if you're a Padres fan and hoping for something good in the future. Comes down the Sod Poodles, the Padres AA affiliate, down 3-1 in the ninth inning, down to their last at-bat of the season against the Tulsa Drillers. But they load the bases for Taylor Trammell.
Amazing.
The Padres' new outfielder they acquired in the Franmil Reyes trade. And wouldn't you know, grand slam by Taylor Trammell. And the Sod Poodles go on to win the Texas League Championship. The guy came over in that trade, Woods, and struggled for the first month or so.
Yeah.
And you're really thinking, man, Franmil's helping the Indians out. Hunter Renfro's struggling. Taylor Trammell is struggling. That trade is not looking good. Taylor Trammell had a marvelous postseason. Really is going to go into the offseason with a lot of confidence. And I would imagine we'll see him in big league camp next year. And if he doesn't make the club, if he plays like he did in the postseason for the Padres, it won't be long before he does get up next season to the big league club at that point, because he really did turn it around.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I mean, that grand slam was incredible. Him high stepping around
the trot was something
great.
To behold, for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's good. It's fine. It's good. Congrats.
You sound unenthused. Not so thrilled.
It's been a great day today. Can't wait for more.
I mean, I don't live in Amarillo. If I lived in Amarillo, you know how excited I would be today? I'd be beating my chest.
You'd be moderately excited today.
If I lived in Amarillo and went to every Sod Poodles game, I'd be ecstatic. Pants would be around my ankles right now.
Yeah.
But I live in San Diego, where the Padres are on the brink of their ninth consecutive losing season. So I'm happy for those guys. Hopefully they all come up and contribute at some point. But I'm over it. Is that bad to say? I'm over it. I'm just like, hey.
I mean, you're not the only fan. It's been, you can only talk about prospects for so long.
My brain is spinning.
I will still say I would rather see them do well than not do well.
Of course,
I'm going to point out when they do something really cool, and that was undoubtedly cool.
My man, I'm not taking anything away from. Look, right now I'm looking at this. The fans in Amarillo welcoming them home last night. It's great. It's super great. I want that to be down in the gas lamp, though. That's what I want. In the gas lamp. Not in Amarillo. Does nothing for me. Nothing.
All right, we got to get into some football talk. You had a couple of major injuries on quarterbacks yesterday that changed the entire course of the season. Quickly, 97.3 The Fan wants to invite you to join us at the new Torero Tailgate, Saturday, October 5th, kicking off at 11 a.m. This year's tailgate will be a fun, free-flowing experience with music, games, access to a variety of food trucks and other special surprises. Come together with alumni and connect with students, parents, faculty, staff, and friends. For more information on the Torero Tailgate, go to 973thefansd.com under event listenings. Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, could they be facing extended absences from the Saints and the Steelers? Get us some NFL talk. That is coming up with Ben and Woods.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'd hate to be one of those NFL preseason. You know, you like put together this giant guide, all the predictions, all your analysis of every team. And then 2 weeks into it, you know, one or two injuries, and everything gets blown up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
man.
Everything you wrote about in the preseason, everything you were expecting to happen, is meaningless when a guy like Drew Brees goes down with an injury or Ben Roethlisberger gets hurt. Both of those happened yesterday. It's Ben Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Still waiting to hear today on the severity of the two injuries, but I'll tell you this. You get a sense after a while just listening to, you know, how the teams talk, how the players act on the sideline, and then what the kind of whispers are coming out of both camps. And I would be very surprised to see either of those guys on the field in the next month, based on what I was kind of seeing yesterday.
Yeah, I think the reports are out about Big Ben. He may need elbow surgery. And, of course, Drew Brees, I think he tore a ligament in his thumb on his throwing hand.
Yeah, I don't think they said that for sure, but they said he's going to see, like, a hand specialist. Well, put two and two together. You know, you do that quickly, and obviously something is probably pretty wrong.
Well, to your point, Ben, listen to Drew Brees after the game. He didn't sound very positive talking about his hand.
Yeah, I am concerned. I'm hoping it's not too significant. Again, I'm gonna see a hand specialist and get his opinion, and then we'll see what the next steps are.
Think about how many times you've heard an athlete say, "Oh no, I hopefully it's not a big deal, and you know I'm definitely gonna be gearing up to play next week," and then they can't. When they are legitimately concerned, you know it's bad.
Yeah.
Sounds like he might be done for the year.
He's been doing this long enough to know what he needs out of his thumb. You know, like, he knows exactly what his body needs to feel like to go out and compete as an NFL quarterback. And, you know, man, here's what I don't want to happen, Benny. Remember a few years ago when all the quarterbacks went south, and it was like a backup league there for a while. The NFL was almost unwatchable. And you couple that in with the awful officiating. Dude, it's a big, big problem for the NFL right now. We're only 2 weeks in.
It's
been bad.
We were so excited, everyone, about the Rams-Saints rematch in the NFC Championship game. Once Teddy Bridgewater walks out on the field, and no offense to Teddy Bridgewater, but the matchup is just no longer as exciting as it was. And, you know, the Rams took advantage. They pulled away in the second half, I think 27-9, the final. But you can't say, well, the Rams, you know, well, they're certainly better than the Saints. They proved it with that win. They backed up their NFC Championship victory. If Drew Brees isn't on the field, it doesn't really mean anything other than a victory in the standings. You know, you put a healthy Drew Brees out there, and I think the Saints had every opportunity to win that game and beat the Rams. A lot of it is luck and opportunity in the NFL, and the Rams took advantage. As for Big Ben, I don't know if you saw his injury. He looked like a pitcher coming off the mound.
Yeah.
You know, like heading toward Tommy John surgery. The way he was wincing and holding his elbow, that has to be incredibly concerning for the Pittsburgh Steelers, already off to an 0-2 start. I mean, their season is on the verge of meaninglessness already, and you take Ben out of the equation for a long time. It might be time to tear it down and start rebuilding and thinking about your next quarterback and what's next. The old tank for Tua could be in Pittsburgh if Ben is out for the season.
Who's their backup? Is it Landry? Is it Landry Jones?
Is he still there?
I honestly don't know. I really
saw the
don't.
Highlights of Ben going down, and then I didn't care about the game whatsoever.
Mason Rudolph is the backup.
All right. Well, good luck to the Steelers and their fans.
It's going to be a long one for you.
It's been a great run. I saw a stat where, like, in the last 7 years, it's the first time the Steelers have lost a game when they came in with a losing record. They've never been more than a game under 500 in the last 7 years.
First time at 0-2 in Tomlin's 13-year career. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to get bad in the NFL if these quarterbacks keep going down, because it's such a quarterback league. It really is. Now, you know, Nick Foles to a smaller extent, but when you got a guy like Gardner Minshew who came in and looked really, really good, had a chance to win the football game late. You know, he's got his bits going. He's doing his bits. Everybody falling in love with him. But, you know, the Steelers don't have that, and neither do the Saints. Teddy Bridgewater's fine, but he ain't Drew Brees. He doesn't run that offense like Drew Brees does. So how about those Rams, though? They don't really look hungover to me.
Well, Todd Gurley is showing flashes of being Todd Gurley, and then he's kind of disappearing a little bit.
Is that by design, though?
It's possible.
Yeah.
They're not talking about it much, but they've got a good backup in Malcolm Brown. Cooper Kupp looks
great.
Even better than before he did when he got hurt last year.
Such a nice little safety blanket for Jared Goff.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just right there. He's always open.
Now, the Rams are definitely not going to go anywhere this year. They should still be there near the end.
Yep.
You know, the worst loss of the day, I think you have to at least consider the Los Angeles Chargers. I get it's a road game, and in the NFL you never count on road wins, but that's the Detroit Lions are one of the teams you look on the schedule and you think, okay,
dub.
If you're a Super Bowl contender, if you are expecting to compete for a division title, for a first-round bye in the playoffs, that's one you've got to win. And the Chargers were the better team. They frittered it away. They had plenty of opportunities with a lead in the second half to score a couple more touchdowns and, you know, stomp on the Detroit Lions, and they could not do it. Mistakes, self-inflicted penalties, turnovers, you know, touchdowns called back. It was, well, it's familiar. If you were ever a San Diego Chargers fan like I was, it looked very familiar.
Oh, yeah.
In ways they find to, you know, fritter away games that they should have won. Yeah. Yeah. If you, if As for former fans, you know why you're laughing today. It's just typical Chargers.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, Benny. I watched most of the game, then I went to play ball, and then after the game was over, just checked my phone real quick, and I'm like, they lost?
There's no way they should have
There's
lost.
There's no way. They
I mean,
lost.
Matthew Stafford wasn't even very good.
He threw two picks.
You know, like give him credit. He fought through it and got him into the end zone there in the second half for the go-ahead touchdown. We watched that first drive, Phillip Rivers station right down the field. They're up 7-0.
Yeah, Eckler's just like that.
Zone. They're going to win this game 42-10. How do you lose? How do you lose that one? Ouch. That was a tough one.
I mean, look, dude, the fourth quarter interception in the red zone, if you're not a Charger fan anymore and you were, how happy are you today? You don't have to worry about that anymore because it's like clockwork. It
how
happened
worried,
last week.
How
it happened
worried
this week.
Are you when you see what Patrick Mahomes is doing?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no sophomore slump. I know technically it's his third season because he didn't really play his first year, but there was nowhere to go but down, we thought, for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, MVP in his first full season as a starter, 50 touchdown passes, setting records left and right. If anything, through the first 2 weeks of the Kansas City Chiefs season, Woods, he's looked better.
Yeah, he looks really, really good.
He's looked better.
Just quiet. Like, he's not getting the same pub that he was getting last year because we're now kind of expecting this from Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, he had one good quarter yesterday.
Yeah.
He threw four touchdowns and over 400 yards.
Ridiculous.
And really, it wasn't even the greatest performance by the Chiefs. They could have won by a lot more than they did over the Raiders. It ended up being 28-10. I'd be very concerned if I were in the AFC West that Kansas City Chiefs not looking like they're taking a step back at all. They lose a bunch of personnel. They replace him. You think maybe it's going to take some time for them to adjust to the beginning of the season? They are clicking from the very beginning, and it would be worrisome for the entire conference. I mean, it's looking like Chiefs-Patriots right now again.
Yeah,
at the end
it
of
is.
The season.
You know, you got to tip your hat too, Benny, to the Buffalo Bills. You know, the Buffalo Bills 2-0 right now, kind of manhandled up on the Giants yesterday. I mean, imagine the Bills being the toast of New York, even though they're nowhere near New York City. The Giants are horrid. They're already calling for Shermer's head. They're already calling for Eli's head. They want Daniel Jones after two games. The Jets, you know, the Sam Darnold thing, we'll see them tonight. The Darnold-less Jets will take on Baker Mayfield and the Browns. I mean, huge game for both teams. They both got to get this win. So I fully expect Baker to have a night, but he wasn't great in week one.
If they lose, everyone's two games behind the Ravens already in that division.
Yeah.
Two-game lead through 2 weeks is not nothing. That's just scratching the surface of all the NFL headlines from yesterday. We will continue our discussion with our guy covering the NFL. Eric Adelson is going to be with us. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods. Do not go anywhere. It is a Monday morning here on 97.3 The Fan.
But we get a penalty, so then at that moment, I see the sticks. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's no chance I'm sliding. There's no chance I'm going out of bounds. I'm just trying to get the first down, and I had the first down. But forever in this league, whenever I put the ball out past the first down marker, but my body goes the other way, they never give it to me. And same thing, the second interception will blow my mind forever. Like, it was offensive pass interference. They said he was blocking. So I asked the man, and I said, sir, I said, why would I throw him the ball if he was blocking? And he didn't have an answer for me, and he walked away. So I don't know what to do in that instance. We got the coverage we want. We got the exact look we want. I'm throwing it to where I'm supposed to throw it, and they tackle our receiver, yet it's a penalty on us. Like that, this is changing the outcomes of a football game, right? That shouldn't happen. That blows my mind. When things like that happen, I get kind of upset.
Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr not happy with the officiating and their team's 28-10 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Ben and Woods back with you on 97.3 The Fan. We're going to talk everything NFL here in a moment with our guy Eric Adelson. Derek Carr not the only one upset with the officiating. I saw Tony Dungy on NBC last night.
Saw that too.
Called the new pass interference replay rules a disaster.
Well, he said, I knew it was going to be a disaster, and guess what?
It's
a disaster, and it is.
He's not wrong. I understand. I like the idea of being able to correct really bad mistakes
I
by
guess.
The officiating.
Yeah.
But there seems to be no rhyme or reason, because there you could call pass interference
almost all the time.
Really, on almost every play, it's you've got to have a human touch on the new line. Did it really affect the play? You know, was it really important? Was it really egregious? And it is so hard to decide. Joining us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline, as he does each and every Monday, our NFL insider, our guy Eric Adelson, back with us here on 97.3 The Fan with Ben and Woods. Eric, good morning to you.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well.
We're good. What do you think about the pass interference replay after just 2 weeks? You know, it didn't look like the referees were ever going to use it. Then they surprise us, and they overturn one yesterday, and they go, that really? Okay. Now no one seems to have a clue as to what's going on.
Yeah, I wrote about this over the offseason for Sports Illustrated. The more you have replay, the more you're going to have these situations. You have to accept that there's going to be human error in life and in sport. And if you try to legislate human error out of the sport, you're going to have replay error. And that's what we're seeing. And we're only going to see more of it. And replay error is, in a sense, more difficult to work with than human error because, you know, human error, humans make mistakes. But replay error, then you're going to try to legislate replay error, and it's going to be compounded. And that's what we have now is you have to decide, the referees on the field have to decide, A, was it pass interference? B, if it wasn't pass interference, then the coaches on the sideline have to throw the flag or not. Then the people in the replay booth and the people in New York have to decide. These are all opportunities for not only failure, but second-guessing, which slows the game down and can cause failure of its own. So you have this kind of car crash of second-guessing, of mistakes, and of being tentative. And that's not to mention, you know, if you're desperate in the game and you want to change the momentum, then, you know, maybe you'll throw the flag there, or maybe you'll try to work the refs then,
yeah,
even if you don't think it's pass interference. It's just so much easier if we just say, listen, there's going to be blown calls. Humans make blown calls. That's okay. I'm sorry, Saints fans. I'm with you. My heart breaks for you for what happened. But now you're going to have it again and again, and several teams are going to lose games unjustly because of trying to overdo it after one human error in a big moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point, and you know, it's probably recency bias, Eric, but I'm seeing it a lot in baseball this year. I'm seeing a lot of thin-skinned umpires. I'm seeing some of the more egregious strike and ball calls that I've ever seen. And, you know, you're seeing it in the NFL. And once it gets into that realm, it makes the game hard to watch. And do you think that this is going to be something that they keep working at to try to perfect? Or do you think they're going to boot this challenging of the PI after the season or the next CBA?
Well, I hope so. I think they know at the top level of the sport, of the NFL sport anyway, maybe not other sports, that there has to be some amount of human error. And, you know, not to get all philosophical, and I know it's 6:40 in the morning out there, but this is sort of an international, societal, global problem where you have... Yeah, it is, because we're struggling against automation on the entire planet. And people are being replaced by robots. And so, of course, you're going to have referees at all levels, not just the NFL or MLB, but all the way down to Little League, who are just saying, you know what, if you think that this video or this robot is going to do better than me, then have at it. Then you do it. Then you build your own 3D printer to correct my mistakes. And I'm not even going to show up anymore. And that's what you're starting to have at the youth league, that there's referees that just don't want to deal with this. That they have parents who come and think that, well, we should have replay, and I saw this overturned, and if we had video cameras on these games, then everything would be better. And that's a societal problem that we're facing. And again, that causes so many extra layers of error and friction and conflict in our sport that shouldn't be there if we just say, you know what, parents, coaches, GMs, owners, players, we're going to screw up sometimes. That's okay. You're going to get the raw end of a deal sometimes. It's better than just micromanaging and micropixelating every single play that's made on the field.
Talking to Eric Adelson here with Ben and Woods, NFL recap from the weekend. The quarterback injuries, I think, were certainly the number one story from the weekend, Eric. I mean, you kind of have to just read the comments, read between the lines. It doesn't look too good for either Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees. What's your take?
Well, I mean, you obviously hate to see this because the quarterbacks, I mean, and I think they've actually done a pretty good job trying to protect quarterbacks over the last several years. That's something that the NFL doesn't get credit for. They could do better, but they've really tried to protect the franchise players. And I know defenses are upset about that, but I think it's a good thing. My reaction, besides just sadness and disappointment, is people go into the season thinking, okay, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt, Kyler Murray's going to get hurt, these mobile quarterbacks, Cam Newton's going to get hurt. I mean, he does. But the thing is that these are pocket passers. You know, Roethlisberger's a statue. Drew Brees doesn't move. You know, Andrew Luck is mobile, but he hasn't been lately. This is happening, is going to happen anyway. And I think it's actually, we've gone too far in the belief that the mobile quarterback is going to be the one who's certainly prone to injury because he leaves the pocket. And unfortunately, you're going to have, I mean, Drew Brees is a freak injury where he just throws, he hits Aaron Donald on a follow through. There's nothing you can do about it. I know there's some people who say, well, if he had extra preseason games, this wouldn't happen. I don't believe that. I don't agree. I just think it's, you know, freak injuries happen, and you just have to be thankful. I know most people are not thankful that Tom Brady has been healthy for all these years, but you just have to be thankful that if your quarterback shows up and plays, you know, that's a blessing that we don't often have in a violent sport like football.
We're talking to Eric Adelson here on Ben and Woods this morning. And who's your biggest surprise so far, good or bad, in the NFL as far as record goes?
I think bad is the Bears. I know they won. They pulled out yesterday. But I think that they've got problems. I don't think Trubisky's the answer. That was a team that was supposed to be, you know, contender for the NFC. I'm not sure that they do it with Trubisky. I think that the Bears fans know it. I'm glad they got a kicker. You know, in that same game, you know, the Broncos just don't look good at all. The Dolphins are awful. I think we thought they would be bad, but this is historically bad. I think surprised on the upside, I mean, the Ravens look really good. Granted, they're playing two bad teams, but Lamar Jackson, I think that if you saw him in college, you realize he has an arm. And I think that when people saw that game in the playoffs against the Chargers, people were like, okay, well, that's it for Lamar Jackson. They figured him out. It's over. But there's other layers to his ability that we're seeing now. So I think that the Ravens actually might be, we have to see how they do against the Chiefs. That's this weekend, but that's a team that may be a contender that I didn't expect, going forward.
I'll give you a whole division here, Eric. How about the NFC West? I mean, yeah, the Rams are coming off a Super Bowl, but some people thought, I might take a step back. The Seahawks, yeah, I mean, they're always good. They've looked solid. The 49ers have the best point differential in the NFC. I know they haven't played two great teams, but the Cardinals certainly don't look like the worst team in football, despite an 0-1-1 record. I mean, they hung with the Ravens 2-0. They got that tie in week one. Kyler Murray has already thrown for over 300 yards twice. Top to bottom, that looks like it could be the best division in football now, and I was not expecting that.
No, you know, I think, you know, at the end of last year, it looked like the Rams and everybody else, the Niners, Cardinals, and even the Seahawks looked like they were taking a step back. But you're right. I mean, the Niners, and especially even in preseason, I mean, people were asking, you know, is Jimmy Garoppolo done? I mean, is he going to be traded back to the Patriots for like a fifth-round pick? And they have some ingredients now that are coming together. And, yeah, the Cardinals, I'm surprised. I really thought – I watched the first half of that Cardinals-Lions game, and it looks like it looked like a whole huge mistake. You know, Kingsbury and Murray, it just looked like a colossal error. And it is early, and I still see some issues. But, yeah, I mean, to go on the road and basically be so resilient, such a young team to basically battle – and have a punter's chance to win at the end, that's something that a veteran team does. And I like what Seattle has done, you know, adding Clowney and Metcalf, the rookie. And, you know, in the Rams, I'm still not sure about Goff. They're going to be good. They have Gurley. As long as they have Gurley, they'll be good. But Goff, I think, has a little more growing to do. which on the optimistic side means that he could be a much better quarterback still. But on the concerning side is that, you know, have you learned the lessons that, from that Patriots debacle? Which way is he going to go? It might be the best overall division. It's definitely looking at the most interesting division.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Jared Goff with Cooper Kupp. I mean, yeah, the Saints have a decent defense. They didn't lose Drew Brees from their defense yesterday, and the Rams looked good in the second half. They've been better than I expected. I will give them that. Well, Eric, lots more we could have gotten to. Out of time today, but we will chat with you again next Monday. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Eric Adelson, great writer, great insider. Love that we have him on each week here on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. We need
auto loan rates.
Yes, we need a contestant for a little real or fake to go head-to-head against Woodsy today. A chance to win a pair of tickets to the Padres-Dodgers game for the final series of the season. Call now, 833-288-0973. Hammer will pick a lucky caller. You'll go up head-to-head against Woods for a chance to win the tickets here in just a second. Yeah, I mean, I thought there were some good games. That Denver Broncos-Chicago Bears game, as Eric brought up, the Bears pulled it out. Probably shouldn't have. I mean, it came down to like 50, a half tick of the clock. I mean, if it
was a 52-yarder or something to win it?
53, Eddie Pinheiro, yeah. Good headline in the Chicago, I think it was the Sun-Times this morning. Eddie Money was the headline for Eddie Pinheiro.
I like that.
That was pretty clever, I thought. But, I mean, it comes down to, did the clock hit zero before or after they called the timeout to get it off at the last second? The Denver Broncos had gone for two to take the lead with 31 seconds to go. And, I mean, just ripped the heart out there in Denver at the end of that game. But it was a great NFL week, and we'll talk more about it, I'm sure, as we continue on.
That wasn't a touchdown by Cooper Kupp. That catch and run, stiff
yeah,
arm.
Oh, they yeah, took it back. The juke half move. Yard line. Oh, just give it to him.
I was like, come on.
Last night's game was pretty good. I mean, that Eagles Falcons game, got to see most of that last night. Came down to the, you know, fourth and eight or whatever. And then, yeah, if I'm an Eagles fan, man, I'm kind of expecting to win that football game last night, man. I really am. I know that everybody loves Carson Wentz, and he made some really nice throws there in the fourth, but you don't have to be in that position. You don't have to be coming from behind at the end if you're that good. So definitely something to watch in Philly as well. But that was a pretty physical game last night. Pretty exciting, too.
All right, let's get to it. Time to play a little edition on a Monday of Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Padres-Dodgers tickets, September 24th. We got a pair to give out. They'll either go to Francisco in Chula Vista, who is our contestant this morning, or if he fails to win our game, they'll go back into the hopper and you'll have a chance to win. So don't go anywhere. Good morning, Francisco. Thanks for playing some Real or Fake with us. How you doing, man?
Doing good, thank you. How you doing?
All right, good. We got five rounds. Whoever gets more points wins, although we'll give you the prize if you can just tie Woods. Tie goes to the listener. Here's what we've got for you today, Woods and Francisco. I went to a wedding this weekend, so maybe that was the inspiration for today's edition of Real or Fake. I will give you the name of a professional athlete. You will need to tell me if he is a real one-time or current boy toy of one of the Kardashian sisters, including Kendall Jenner, or a fake flame I have added to the mix to fool you.
Well, so, TMZ action
so
this morning.
Yeah, real if they're a Kardashian boy, fake if they're not. Woodsy, you are up first. Let's start with DeMar DeRozan, real or fake Kardashian boy toy?
Fake.
Very good, Woods.
Thank you.
She's tricky. All right, Francisco, 1 point for Woods. Let's try you. Reggie Bush, real or fake Kardashian boy toy, Francisco?
He's a real dude.
Oh, he is.
Yes,
absolutely.
He
dated Kim Kardashian for quite a while. All right, 1-1 after one round. Round two. Let's try this one. Woodsy, Kevin Love, real or fake Kardashian boy toy?
Real.
Damn it, no.
He's all about the love, but not with the Kardashians. All right, here we go, Francisco. A chance for you to take the lead. Let's try this one. Chris Humphries, real or fake, Francisco?
Real.
Yep.
Yeah, he married to Kim Kardashian for a little while.
I might have. put those two. I might have mixed
those
two. Okay, all right. I got it.
That's fine. All right. Yeah, here we go. Round three, Woods.
The basketball player.
Right.
Let's try this one for you. Lamar Odom, Woods, real or fake?
It's definitely real.
Yeah, married to Khloe Kardashian for a little while. All right, 2-2, Francisco. You can still take the lead here. Let's try Blake Griffin, real or fake, Francisco?
I live with women. I watch it every weekend, so is he real?
Yes! Kendall Jenner dated Blake Griffin for a while. Three for three. Good job, Francisco. All right, Woodsy, your turn again. Let's try this one. Miles Austin, former Cowboys reliever, real or fair receiver, real or fair?
I remember something maybe with Kim, so I'm going to say real.
No! Fake! All right, Francisco, you're doing very well.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. We'll find out. Maybe it's, let's try this one, Francisco. Real or fake? James Harden. Real or fake, Francisco?
Fake.
No, actually, James Harden linked with Khloe for a while, Kardashian. All right, final round, Woodsy. Let's try this one. Jordan Clarkson. Lakers. Real or fake?
Real.
Yeah, Kendall Jenner dated him. All right, last one for you, Francisco. Meta World Peace. Real or fake Kardashian boy toy, Francisco?
Let's go fake.
Correct. Nice. And by a 4-3 score, Francisco, you have won real or fake, and you claim the Padres-Dodgers tickets. Congratulations, Woodsy.
Did you just
0-1 start to the week.
Did you just do a bit on the Kardashians and their boy toys from the NBA?
I did.
Amazing.
Thanks for playing some real or fake.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I went to a nice wedding over the weekend.
And you go to a nice wedding, and you think, this reminds me of the Kardashians. And I'm going to do a bit. Yeah, Shock Jock Radio. Here we go.
No, actually,
Boy Toy Ben and Woods in the morning over here.
I meant to get to this earlier because Hammer and Hammer Time last hour. And if you're not up early, make sure you join us at 5:50 for Hammer Time. Talked about whether or not you should be able to put your kids on a leash. And it was my my cousin who got married over the weekend. And her dad, you know, gave the toast and talked about the story about when they were traveling to see relatives in Norway. They had a layover at Heathrow and lost her as like a 3-year-old girl at Heathrow Airport. And just the panic, like, where is she? She was hiding under a chair, giggling the whole time while the entire airport was panicking looking for her. She thought that was hilarious.
Kids think that hiding is really, really funny. It's not. It's not funny at all. That bit needs to go away. My kid was hiding in the pantry not too long ago. I'm like, where the hell did he go? And I hear him sniggling.
There's no worse feeling than losing your kid, even for 5 seconds. And you look at where are they?
Well, there's so many creeps out there too, man. You just get really, really nervous, man. Oh God.
All right. We still have a couple of hours to go. We're going to talk a little Aztecs. They are now 3-0 on the season. You keep winning, we keep talking Aztecs. That's the bargain
that's the rule.
I've struck here in San Diego. Offensive coordinator Jeff Horton going to check in with us after a win over New Mexico State. Big game this weekend for SDSU as well. Half the show still to go. It is Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.